Welcome to Scripture Beneath the Surface, an outreach of Preparation Ministries, a presentation to encourage God's people to embrace a life of holiness and to move away from the worldly lifestyle of today's church. It is our hope that you will come to understand the message of 2 Corinthians 6, 17, and 18, which tells us to come out from among them and be a separate people. We bring this to you because we believe Jesus is coming soon. Now here is our host, Randy Smith.
Hello. Thanks for being with us. Today, I'd like to talk about what our current situation is concerning end-time events and what our imminent future appears to be. What we're going to be dealing with are the events associated with the seals of Revelation chapter 6 and the events which will take place up to and including the return of Jesus Christ in the clouds of heaven. Some of the information we will cover will be specific and some of it will be general, but what we cover should be helpful in shedding light on your concepts of the end-time events and how our future is soon to unfold. No one knows everything that is prophesied to come to pass in these last days, even though many claim to know the exact interpretation of every prophetic scripture. It would be nice to know everything, but God doesn't reveal everything to us, but only those things which He deems is appropriate for our situation. Sure, we can use logic and assume what will probably take place, but the actual events are not here yet for the most part, and we will have to wait until they unfold to see what God really brings to pass. However, we can get a general idea of our current situation if we look closely at the scriptures, and we can also get a general idea of what will soon come to pass. Probably the most important thing we have to remember when endeavoring to comprehend scripture concerning end-time events is to remember that the scriptures are not revealed by logic, nor by devices, nor by mathematical equations or codes. God does not use man's fleshly ways to accomplish His works. God speaks, and His power is manifested by His Spirit. Therefore, it is only by His Spirit that we can know what is the mind of God. This means that we have to discern the Scriptures by allowing God's Holy Spirit to reveal them to us. And when God does reveal His Word to us, we still cannot prove that He revealed it, nor prove that what we received is true. The proof is just in knowing down deep inside that God has shown you something, and therefore it is only proof to you. Others must get their own proof just the same way you did by allowing God to make it real in your heart. In order to receive spiritual understanding from God, the thing to remember is that it is the very same concept as believing in Jesus Christ for your salvation. It was also revealed to you by God's Holy Spirit, and there's no way you can prove it to anyone else. You just know it down deep in your heart. This is how you discern the Scriptures. You just search the Scriptures, pray that God will reveal them to you, and then continue to search the Scriptures and pray some more. As you continue to do this with a sincere heart, little by little, God will reveal them to you. But God tells us that He gives understanding of His Word a little bit at a time, and then builds upon that little bit of information until such time as you have a strong foundation of information. Then God continues to build on that strong foundation as long as you continue to seek prayerfully for understanding and guidance. The Bible tells us that God reveals His Word to His people line upon line and precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. When you search the Scriptures and listen to the teaching of others, and then pray that God would give you just the truth, you have done everything that you can do to get understanding except one thing. That one thing is to receive what God gives you. As soon as God gives you something, Satan will come and try to take it away from you. Sometimes he is successful, sometimes he is not successful, and you are able to retain what God has shown you. It is a continual battle between good and evil. God gives as you seek and pray, then Satan attempts to take what you receive away from you or to twist the understanding of it until it makes no sense. But even then, if you continue to seek and pray, the end result will be that you will learn. I can testify from personal experience that understanding will never come fast enough or be great enough to satisfy you. But the knowledge God gives you will be just what you need for your current level of faith and time of your life. Just don't make either of two mistakes that are common to Christians. One mistake is to believe your pastors and teachers because they teach things that sound good and seem to make sense. When dealing with the Word of God, it is the Holy Spirit that will guide into all truth, not some human being. To seek for confirmation from God is your responsibility. The second mistake Christians make is to sit back and leave it up to God to reveal knowledge and wisdom when He is ready. This approach includes the necessary patience, but lacks the persistent pursuit. Just as in the story of the unjust judge and the woman who would not let that judge alone until he acted upon her request, God will not give things to you without your diligent search for truth. That's why Jesus spoke the words found in Matthew 11:12, which says, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force." In essence, this scripture says that the kingdom of heaven is not just given to those who happen to have been born an Israelite, but now the kingdom of heaven will only be entered by those who will pursue it with all their might. Jesus equates this pursuit with someone who storms a city with battering rams and catapults in order to finally gain entry. This is what we as Christians must do if we are going to get anything other than surface understanding of God's Word. Babies are content with milk. Meat is for those who have had their senses exercised to discern between the evil and the good. If you only drink milk, you will remain a baby. And when things get really hard, you will not be able to stand. So as we look at our current situation and the upcoming end time events, try to remember that what I tell you is only my perspective and is only something for you to consider and pray about. I don't reveal anything. It is God, by His Holy Spirit, that gives you understanding. Now, for the moment, I would like you to consider the scripture in Amos 8:11, which says, "Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will send a famine into the land, not a famine for bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord." We have a famine for the Word of God at this present time. No, maybe you can't comprehend this, but it is true. Think of it this way. When Jesus returns, the earth will be full of the glory and the knowledge of God. At this present time, the earth is not full of the glory and the knowledge of God. In fact, you can easily see this if you just stop and think and ask yourself this question. When was the last time you saw someone raised from the dead? We could ask ourselves any number of questions concerning the miracles of God and would realize that at this present time, you see many things in the world which appear to be miraculous in the respect of man's physical nature, but you see very few things in the world which are miraculous in the realm of heavenly things. Let's look at Revelation 6, verses 5 and 6. Let me read this to you. It says, "And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, 'Come and see.' And I saw, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, 'A measure of wheat for a denarius, and three measures of barley for a denarius, and see that you hurt or sell not the oil and the wine. First of all, a denarius represents a day's wages for a common laborer. This means that a common laborer would have to work all day to get 3 quarts of barley or 1 quart of wheat. This is describing a famine. But this is not talking about a famine for bread, but a famine for the Word of God. Make a note for yourself to look at Revelation 6, verses 5 and 6 sometime, and look closely at the symbolic concept described here. The barley stands for that grain which is first harvested, according to Israel's harvest timetable, but is a coarser grain for making bread flour. This symbolizes the Old Testament, which was the first Word of God that bread from heaven. The Old Testament is not as clear in its description of heavenly things as is the New Testament. The wheat mentioned in these verses represents symbolically the New Testament. Wheat was a grain that was harvested in Israel after the barley harvest. Wheat makes a much finer bread flour, for it is a higher quality grain. So what we have here are 2 grains, barley and wheat, which stand symbolically for the Old Testament and New Testament, which is the written or spoken Word of God. When a famine occurs in the world, in the physical sense, there is a lack of bread, because there is a lack of grain which can be ground into flour to make the bread. But when we are studying this portion of Scripture, we know that a worldwide famine for bread is not what the Bible is talking about. But what the Bible is talking about in Revelation 6, verses 5 and 6, is the spiritual food, that bread from heaven, which was actually symbolized in the Old Testament by manna. Manna was given to the children of Israel in the wilderness and pointed to the concept of bread from heaven. We understand that the Word of God is bread from heaven because Jesus was the Word of God, and He Himself said that He was that bread from heaven. The black horse of Revelation 6 represents that there will be a famine for the Word of God in the world. It also mentions in these same verses that the oil and the wine are not to be distributed. The actual word used in the King James Version is hurt and means that the oil and wine is not to be hurt in the sense of taking away a portion of it. The original Greek word indicates doing damage to, as in taking part of it away or, in essence, selling it. This is important because what the Scripture is trying to show us is that the barley and wheat, which symbolizes the written or spoken Word of God, are available only for a high price, but the oil and wine are not for sale to the general public. The oil and wine represent the Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ, which are the 2 witnesses which stand before the Lord of all the earth. They are the 2 testimonies which give testimony as to the truth that God is who He claims to be. Therefore, Jesus Christ reveals God by speaking His word and demonstrating it outwardly, or should we say, by not only talking it, but walking it. The Holy Spirit reveals God by the miraculous works of His power, which demonstrates the truth of God's claim that He is all-powerful. Now, let me sum this up a little bit. The black horse of Revelation 6 says that God will send a famine upon the earth, which is a famine for the Word of God. The barley stands for the Old Testament. The wheat stands for the New Testament. The oil stands for the Holy Spirit, which reveals God's power in the earth. And the wine stands for Jesus Christ, who reveals God's love in the earth. Those who live on the bread from heaven must work very hard in order to supply themselves and their families with enough bread to sustain life. In this instance, we're talking about the spiritual bread to sustain spiritual life. The deep understanding of God through the testimonies of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit does not come easy. However, When we look at the other end of the spectrum concerning the warfare between good and evil, we can easily see that when desiring to buy and sell grain that comes from Satan rather than from heaven, there is no famine at all. You can buy as much knowledge of science and technology as you wish. Not only can you get as much of the basics as you want, you can actually wallow in it. There is no end to purchasing Satan's temptations, no end to buying and selling anything that will stimulate the carnal nature, the beast nature of man. This is what is referred to in Revelation 13, where it says that the purpose of the image of the beast is to create a situation where the only business of trade is that which Satan propagates, and that which is heavenly would not be able to be attained at any price. If the time were not shortened, Satan would be able to attain this goal. If God did not stop the progression of man's attempt to exalt himself by the strength of his own hands, there would eventually come a time when there was no one left who were buying the bread from heaven, but only those who were wicked people and trafficking in worldly knowledge and delights. If you would look around you and look very carefully and pray that God would allow you to see with spiritual eyes, I believe God will reveal to you that we are approaching a time when Satan's worldly system of science and technology, man's earthly knowledge, is fast becoming the only form of trade in the world. There is a famine for the Word of God, but there is no famine for the science and technology of man. Therefore, man's faith in his own abilities is being increased dramatically, but man's faith in God is being destroyed continuously. This is the goal of Satan, and he would be able to accomplish this goal if God were to allow him to continue long enough. But God is going to stop the progression of deception before all flesh is lost to the lake of fire. This is a promise we have from Jesus. But at this current time, Satan is operating very successfully. The Word of God can hardly be attained, but the lies of Satan can easily be purchased. I know that most people look at science and technology as a wonderful blessing from God. And it's not that science and technology of itself is wrong, but the difficulty with science and technology is that man uses it to attain his goals rather than to look to God for help. The problem with the Tower of Babel incident in the book of Genesis was that the people of earth attempted to exalt themselves by the strength of their own hands rather than calling upon God in humble subservience to him. In today's end times, man has once again attempted to build that tower structure which will exalt him to heaven by the strength of his own hands. In these last days, man relies on what he can do with science and technology much more than what he can do by relying on God himself. Satan does not want man to rely on God. In order for Satan to convince man not to rely on God, he has to convince man that he doesn't need God. Man is feeble and is at great risk in the universe, and without help from somewhere, man would perish. God is our provider and nourisher. Satan is attempting to fully convince man that he no longer needs God and that life and health can be maintained without God. Satan's intent is to cause all knowledge from God to be removed from the earth until such time as no man buys or sells that which is from God, but only buys and sells within Satan's system. The devil's greatest tool to accomplish this goal is the secular programming of television and movies. This secular programming is the image of the beast, referred to in Revelation 13. It is a picture, an image, which speaks. And because of its constant representation of carnal man, it causes those who watch and listen to it to become desensitized to Satan's lies and to lose interest in heavenly things. the secular programming of television and movies depict everything that is worldly, but very little of that which is heavenly. When it was first introduced, there was more emphasis on righteousness and morality because society was, as a whole, more concerned for godly things. But at this time, there is very little left of that. Soon there will be absolutely nothing that is good left on television or in the movies. It is even possible that we have already passed this point. When it says in Revelation 13 that the second beast causes the people of earth to make an image to the beast, it is referring to humanity creating television and movies, which would ultimately be used to portray a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week advertisement for the glory of man himself. This is a very deceptive tool, for even Christians are deceived into allowing the image of the beast to brainwash them. Yes, I know what your response probably is. Believe me, I have heard all of the replies I care to hear. But the truth is that we are locked into this fleshly body until such time as Jesus Christ returns for us. And because of this, we struggle against the temptations of the flesh. But the movies and television programming display all those things which appeal to our animal nature. And because the pull of the flesh is so great, we hate to turn away from watching the many forms of its carnal nature. We enjoy watching things on TV and in the movies that we would never watch in real life. We go places on TV and in the movies that we would never go in real life. We tell ourselves that we are not really doing anything wrong because we are not actually partaking in the evil deeds. But all the time, Satan knows that we don't have to physically partake in order to be contaminated in our minds. The purpose of the image of the beast is to destroy all desire for that which is heavenly by advertising all that is earthly.
We hope you're finding today's message interesting. If you would like a copy for your own use, please listen after Randy's closing thoughts for our contact information. As long as the Lord enables us, we will provide all of our materials free of charge. Please be assured that you will not be asked for any donation. We believe God will supply our need as He sees fit. God's word is freely given. Now, once again, here's Randy.
Notice in Revelation 6, verses 7 and 8, that the black horse of famine is followed by the pale horse, whose rider is death. Notice that death is followed by hell. This means eternal death rides the pale horse and kills the inhabitants of the earth with eternal death and damnation. Satan is snuffing out faith in the earth by this end-time image of the beast. Christians are largely unaware of this threat to their faith, and Christians are largely unconcerned. And Christians don't want to have the image of the beast taken away from them, because they love what it portrays. When you're in church, you will most likely be stimulated by spiritual things. When you are at the movies, or in front of your television, I guarantee you that you will not be stimulated by spiritual things, but by carnal things. Yes, there are many forms of deception, but this one great tool is the most deceptive of all because it lets you watch all that is wicked, and yet this diabolical tool of Satan convinces you that to watch and listen to wickedness is not the same thing as partaking in it. But if you would be willing to take an honest look at what I'm saying, then ask yourself these simple questions. What have I learned to do, or how have I learned to dress, act, speak, or live from the secular programs and movies I have watched in the last year? Have I learned more about heavenly things, or have I learned how to be more concerned with amusements and selfish interests? Whether you ask yourself these questions or seriously admit the truth or not is up to you. I can only point out what is taking place. It is up to you to make sure that where the image of the beast is taking you is where you really want to go. Well, we're out of time. We'll start here again next week and explore the events of the fourth and fifth seals of Revelation. In the week following, we'll talk about the sixth seal and the implications of the seven trumpet judgments and the great day of the Lord's wrath, which is the seven vials or bowls of Revelation. Today's message is the first of a three-part series dealing with these subjects. I hope you can be with us for the next 2 weeks as we explore our current end-time situation and the events which will be unfolding in the near future. The end may be closer than you think.
Thank you for joining us for Scripture Beneath the Surface. Today's message was a partial presentation of a three-part series on current and end-time events. If you would like this three-part series, please contact us and ask for numbers 29, 30, and 31. Messages are available on CD and/or written transcript. As always, there is no charge for our material, and you will not be asked for any donation. In addition, we will send you the complete list of our messages, which contain such topics as Image of the Beast, Mark of the Beast, and the Rapture. There are several ways to obtain our messages. Just contact us in the way which is easiest for you. Our postal address is Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. That's Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. We also have an email address. It is preparationministries@gmail.com. That's preparationministries, all one word, @gmail.com. Or you may contact us by telephone. The number is area code 269-763-2114. That's 269-763-2114. We also have a website. You can find us there under the name preparationministries.net, .com, or .org. Preparation Ministries is all one word. Thank you again for listening to Scripture Beneath the Surface, and may God bless.